I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Say, I am a believer and not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, we're in our series entitled Pray First. Everybody strong, say pray first. Pray first. So no matter what comes, no matter what goes, I pray first. Isn't that right? 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse has been our foundational text the entire time that we've been on this. And it says that I am to rejoice always. So not rejoice sometimes, but I am to rejoice always. All right. It goes on to say, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so in the KJV it says in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in you concerning this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. And so the Bible tells me that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, that I am to pray. A matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, in the New Living Translation, I just love it. It says, never stop praying. Like if you know, if you're trying to learn different verses in the Bible, this is a real good verse to learn. Like if, you know, you're just trying to do that, just never stop praying. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, never stop praying. And we said, thank you, that prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. Everybody say, my first response and not my last resort. Yeah, so prayer should be my first response and not my last resort. I've been having you do this every week, so y'all should be ready for this. I'm going to have y'all say pray first. Everybody say pray first. Pray first. So before the day begins, before you go to bed, you should. Before you go to work, you should. Before you go to school, you should. Before you send that text, you should. Before you post on social media, you should. Before you eat, before you drive, before you travel. When bad things happen, before bad things happen, in every situation, I must invite God into every area of my life. I must pray first. I must pray before I go in and talk to my boss about a situation. I must pray first. Before I call a family member that I'm at odds with, I must pray first. Before I do anything, I must pray first, because now I am inviting God into my situation. I'm telling him that I need him to help me. I'm inviting the Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me. You got it? How many know that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us if we let him? He'll say, say this, but don't say this. You got it? And then sometimes you say stuff you shouldn't have, and he'll tell you, you shouldn't have said that. You got it? But the key is to get the Holy Spirit to lead you on the front end and out on the back end. Isn't that right? You know, and so when things get, you know, when things in your life get out of balance, you need to pray first. When you get heated about something, you need to pray first. Don't send Jesus to the car. Jesus needs to stay with you. You need to pray first. Isn't that right? And so prayer is communion with God, or communication with God. They mean the same thing. And it's confrontation with the devil. Our church values prayer. We are a praying church. We pray on the line every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. before any service. There's a prayer team that is in the back. They're praying for you. They're praying for the service. They're praying that the word will go forth. They're praying that we'll have moments of impact, that your life will be changed in an amazing way. They're praying that today somebody's going to get saved, somebody's going to get healed, somebody's going to get delivered, somebody's going to get set free. They're praying that today that somebody's going to join the church, you know. And so our church values prayer, and you have to value prayer in your life. You got it? You've got to value prayer in your life. And you know, you can't, prayer should be a lifestyle. We talked about lifestyle prayer last week. We talked about certain time, certain place, certain plan. Prayer should be a lifestyle. You got it? Not something that you just do in case of emergency, but prayer should be a lifestyle. Jesus said that men are to always pray and not faint or not give up. So I'm to always pray. If you feel like giving up, pray. If you feel like throwing in a towel, pray. You got it? If you feel like you're angry, pray. You got it? If you're really, really angry, keep on praying. If you're really, really, really angry, keep praying and keep praying till you stop getting angry, because the more you pray, you got it, the more you'll see his presence. And when his presence shows up, everything that's not like God has to settle down. Does that make sense? You got it? And so So we have to learn that it's so vitally, vitally important that we always pray, that we always pray. Let's talk about three things that are necessary for prayer to work. Three things that are necessary for prayer to work. There's a lot of things necessary, but when we really begin to understand what's necessary to satisfy the laws of prayer, there's three things. The first thing I want to talk to you about is that it must be in line with the will of God. It must be in line with the will of God. How many know we cannot pray doubt and unbelief? You got it. How many know we don't come to God pitiful? You got it. The Bible says we come boldly. Isn't that right? Yeah. So we don't pray doubt and unbelief. We pray the word. Everybody say pray the word. 1 John 5 verses 14 through 15. And they'll put it up on the screen. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what does the writer say? He heareth us. So the Bible says this is the confidence that I have. You got it? That if I come to him and I ask him anything according to his will, and his will is his word. Everybody say his will is his word. So his will is his word. You got it? His word says by his stripes I'm healed. His word says that he wants me. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. How many know that God wants you to prosper? How many know that it's okay to prosper? You got it. It's okay to have more than enough so you can take care of your family, you can take care of your children, you can have some savings, and you can still have enough left over to be a blessing to somebody else. You got it? And so as I begin to pray, it's important that I'm praying the word. It must be in line with the will of God. It must be in line with the word. And then if I do that, the confidence that I have is that if I ask anything according to his will or to his word, that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. And so I've got to understand that it's so vitally important that I must pray his will. All right? So when I'm not feeling well, you got it? When I'm not feeling well, doesn't happen to me much. Sometimes I go 2-3 years not even getting a cold, you know, and then sometimes the weather change, it'll just kind of get me a little bit, you know, that kind of thing. And so, but even if something jumps on me, how many know I don't go around saying I'm sick? No, I am the healed resisting sickness and disease. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not going to go around because, you know, part of the law of confession teaches you have what you say. You got it. Proverbs 18 and 21 says that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. If you love life, you're going to speak life. But if you love death, you're going to speak death. And that's why you have to watch what you say, because people have not made a connection between what they say and what they actually have in their lives. There's some people that have what they say, but they don't realize the reason they have it is because they've been saying it. These daggone aggravating children always get me upset. And they always going to get you upset because you always saying that you're going to get upset. And they're always going to be aggravating to you because you always call them aggravating. I never call my children aggravating. When I pray for my children, you got to, I pray that they're leaders and not followers. I pray that they're obedient, that they're intelligent, that they're bright, that they're sharp, that they're witty, that there's a hedge of protection around them. This is something I pray for them every single day. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? That they make good decisions. You got it? You got it? That they bring joy to me and LaConte. You understand what I'm saying? And so watch this. I have what I say. And so you got to make sure, Matthew 12 and 37, that none of this is in your scripture, this is just reference points. But Matthew 12 and 37 says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So my words will make me, or my words will break me. So it's important that I'm saying the right thing and not the wrong thing. And it's important that when I'm praying or when I'm confessing, that it has to be in line with the will of God, which is his word. Does that make sense? And so it has to be in line with the will of God. So you can't ask God for something that's not in line with his will. You got it. You single, want a husband, and you know, and you see a man, but he already married. You know, if it don't work between them. That ain't the will of God. Oh, don't be playing me like people don't do that. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. You got it. No. So you have to pray for things that are in line with the will of God. Does that make sense? The Bible says that Jesus took 39 stripes, and because of those stripes, we are already healed. And so I have the right to come boldly before the throne of grace, saying, Father, I thank you that Jesus took 39 stripes, and because of his stripes, I'm already healed. He bore my sickness and my infirmity on a tree, and so I declare that the healing virtue of Jesus is flowing through my body. I command the healing virtue to flow from the crown of my head to the very soles of my feet, and everything that's not like God has to die, dry up, disintegrate, to leave and never return in the name of Jesus. You got it? So now when I'm speaking against it in the name of Jesus, watch this, and I'm taking authority because you already have authority because you wear the name of Jesus. You got it? And so you've got to understand that, watch this. Now listen, you know pastor pray for you anytime. You got it? Most of y'all have my number. A lot of you guys, especially if you've been around, you know, you can text me at the drop of a hat. Watch this. And I'll pray for you anytime, but I need you to understand that you have authority yourself. That if something happens 2 o'clock in the morning, you wake up and your child got a fever. Hey, I don't mind you texting me saying being in agreement, but watch this, but you have to wake up and say, hold on, devil. No, I don't think so. You got it. I take authority over this fever. I curse it right now at the authority of the name of Jesus. You got it. I command this fever to be normal in Jesus' name. Father, we believe we receive in Jesus' name. You got it. And then, you know, and so I curse the fever. You know, Hannah had a fever. That's what happened. Hannah had a fever, a few weeks ago, right? And we were just going to bed, weren't we? And everything was okay. And then all of a sudden, she walked in, you know, like something was wrong. I was like, you know, I just saw you 30 minutes ago. You know, what's going on? And she said she don't feel good. And at first, I thought she was just being my baby. Because, you know, sometimes she's just my baby. And I like her to be my baby. So it don't even matter. Ladies, like, she's fine. I'm like, come here, baby. What's wrong? Come talk to daddy. You got it? Because, you know, I'm losing those days slowly. You got it? Like, yesterday, she didn't want to be my baby. She wanted to be a big girl. I didn't like that. I'm having issues. I'm about to throw an adult temper tantrum. I want my baby. And so she came to me and she was warm. I was like, oh, she is warm. And I told Lady. And then I felt her for it and she was real warm. So I think later somebody took her temperature and she had a fever. I was like, what? And so, you know, I said, I think we told her to go lay down. We maybe have gave her some Motrin or some Tylenol. And, you know, and I went and laid down. I didn't lay down in my bed 2 minutes. I was like, wait a minute. I can't go to sleep and my baby got a fever. And I said, man, I'm going in there. And I went in there, and I began to lay hands on her and pray. I told her, I said, Hannah, Daddy's going to pray for you, and Jesus is going to heal your body. And she said, okay. You know, and I began to pray. I began to pray in the Spirit. That's why we need to learn to pray in the Spirit. Isn't that right? You got it? And I began to pray in the Spirit for a little while. And it's so funny. After we got done, God healed her immediately. It was, you know, he's an awesome God. And then at the end, she says, Dad, why were you speaking Spanish? Which was a great teaching point. You understand what I'm saying? Because she's now at that age where I can begin to teach her, and she understands, you know. I cursed the fever, that kind of thing. But watch this. This all happened within 5 minutes. Cursed the fever. But I still went and got some cool rags and put on her head. That's okay to do that. No, let me help you. I got to go all the way with y'all because some people think, oh, no, don't need no medicine, don't need no cold rags. Just I work it all together with my faith, the natural with the spiritual, bringing it together, right? And so I put a little cold rag on her head. If nothing else, it just made her feel good. You got it? And I did that, and I got up, and I came back, and it was maybe 3 or 4 minutes. It's like she just felt normal. You got it? So look, I'm excited because Jesus is working. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I love when he just does stuff like, I said, oh, come on, we're going to take your temperature again. Yes, we are. We're going, baby, you got a testimony. We're going to put you up on the big screen and tell everybody what the Lord did for you. You know, we took her temperature and the fever was gone just like that. You have the authority to do that in your home. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, you got it, that is filled with the Spirit of God, you have the authority to do that. Does that make sense? Not just to curse sickness, curse anything in your house that's not like God. You got it? Curse fear in your house. You got it? Curse strongholds in your house. Amen? So number one, it must be in line with the will of God. Y'all get anything out of this? All right. Number two, it must be spoken. It must be spoken. Everybody say it must be spoken. All right. Faith is released, how, class? By the words of our mouth, right? faith is released by the words of our mouth. Nothing moves until we speak. It's part of the process of faith that we call those things that be not as though they were. You hear me say this all the time. If I keep saying what the word says, if I keep saying what the word says, I am going to see the word manifest in my life. But that's why I got to keep saying what the word says. And I can't get excited and say it for 2 or 3 weeks, and then because I don't see it happening and the excitement's gone, I stop saying it. I must have the discipline to keep saying it, to keep saying it, and to keep saying it. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so, you know, so just because you haven't seen anything happen does not mean that nothing's working. There are things that happen in the spirit realm, watch this, that have to transfer down to the natural realm. The Bible says that angels hearken unto the voice of his word. So the moment that I say what the word of God says, angels go on assignment to make it happen. And so I believe I receive the moment that I pray. So watch this. The moment that I pray, I believe that it is already done. It might be some things that are happening in the spirit realm that have to take a process of time to show up in the natural realm. But as far as I'm concerned, I believe it's already done. So now, watch this. After I pray and ask God for it, the rest of the days, I spend my days just thanking God that it's already done. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, you're believing for increase. You're believing for a raise. You understand, on your job, or you're believing for your child to get a scholarship, or you're, you know, just different things that where you're believing for a new vehicle. You know, just whatever it is. Man, you don't confess it just 2 or 3 days and stop confessing it. You know, you pray, you ask God for it. After you ask God for it, you believe that you receive that it's already done. And every day, I just thank you. Somebody else gets a new car to win you today. I thank God for their new car. I thank you that mine's on the way. You got it. I'm not gonna get upset with somebody else, because if God's blessing my neighbor, that means he's in the neighborhood. So I've got to learn how to keep saying what the word says and have a discipline to keep saying what the word says. Even, watch this now, even when I'm in a day of contradiction. A day of contradiction is when my confession is not matching my current situation. I'm saying by his stripes are healed, but I got pain in my body. It is at that point that I'm getting excited. It is at that point that I must be fully persuaded that regardless of what's going on in my body, that the word of God is true. John 17:17 says, sanctify him through thy truth. Thy word is true. So I'm standing on the word, not being moved by what I see or by what I feel. I'm being moved by the word of God. I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm already healed. So it doesn't matter what the report is. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. I believe the report of the Lord, and I am going to speak it out of my mouth that I am healed. You got it? Faith is released by the... I just don't believe that I'm healed. What did the writer say? We believe, therefore we speak. So I don't just believe it. Watch this. The reason I speak it is because I believe it. Does that make sense? All right. So it must be spoken. Mark the 11th chapter and the 22nd verse. Mark the 11th chapter and the 22nd verse. So I got to get serious about this thing. I've got to understand that God hears me when I pray. And that I've got to have a confidence that when I come to God and I pray the word of God. And watch this. How many know everybody prays differently? Okay, so let's not get up in types and styles. You understand what I'm saying? You know, because it's not about how boisterous you can pray. And I'm not knocking that, because everybody prays different styles. And I don't think anything is wrong with one or the other, but we all pray differently. You got it? So if I say, Father, I thank you that Jesus bore my sickness and infirmity on a tree, that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm already healed. So I speak to this ailment. I command it to leave my body right now. Father, I thank you that it's done right now in Jesus' name. Amen. That wasn't all loud and boisterous, but how many know God received that? You got it? Because my next point, number 3, is that it must be done in faith. So it must be done loud. It just must be done in faith. Now, I could be like, Father, I come against the devil in the name of Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that either. You got it? Because how many know sometimes when you get fed up with the devil, you do pray like that. You be like, that's enough. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Like, you're fed up with the devil. And you're here to put him on notice that enough is enough. You got it? But some people look like, oh, man, I wish I could pray like that. You got it? No. The key for you is to pray in faith. It doesn't matter how loud you pray. It doesn't matter about the intonations that you pray. The key is that you pray and that you pray in faith. That's all God requires. It's got to be in line with his will. It must be spoken and it must be prayed in faith. Does that make faith? It make sense. Well, make faith too, but does that make sense? Well, and because it's important that Pastor teaches you that, because what happens is that eliminates competition. Does that make sense? Somebody feeling like that. You know, one thing I love about our prayer line, when you get on our prayer line, all the prayer warriors pray differently. But we love every one of them. You got it? Because some of them, they have their own different styles of prayer and how they say everything. But that's what I love about our church. I love the mixture. I love that when, you know, one day, you know, Mother C, she's going, you know, she's, you know, she has her own style of prayer. You got it? Joe, when he gets on the line, he has his own style of prayer. You know, everybody has their own styles of prayer. You know, but they're all praying the will of God. They're praying the word. They're speaking it out, and it's in faith, and that's all that matters. Does that make sense? All right, so Mark 11 and 22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, or I like to say have the God kind of faith, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, everybody say that's me, all right, you're whosoever, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he, yeah, that's the key, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. And so the writer teaches me, but now I like to back up because, watch this, I can't doubt in my heart. And that's why the writer says that this is the confidence that we have to have in him. Let me kind of get ahead of myself. Go to Hebrews 4 and 16. Hebrews 4 and 16. That's a little bit further down in my notes, but Hebrews 4 and 16. Watch this, they'll put it up on the screen. Let us therefore come, how, class? Let us come forth boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace or favor, word synonymous, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So if I need mercy or I need favor or I need grace, the Bible said that I am to come boldly before the throne. You got it? Why? Because my Father is a good Father and he wants me to have good things. Isn't that right? Yeah, and so I've got to understand that, but I have to have a confidence, hear me now, that I know God wants me to have it. Like you got to understand, regardless of any mistakes that I make, because how many know anytime you go to God, you need something, enemy will try to remind you of something you did last year. I mean, he'll just, you know, always remind, well, you know, you ain't pray enough this week. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does. You got it? And so, or might not even be, it doesn't even have to be anything bad, like a sin or anything. Maybe you just made an honest mistake. Well, see, because you made an honest mistake, you know, your pastor said that life is choice driven and you are, you know, and he'll try to take you away of doubt. And that's why you can't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. That's why when, watch this, when a thought comes to you and you know it's not a thought from the Holy Spirit, you have to immediately cast it down. The Bible said casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the name and the knowledge of God and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. How many know that sometimes that could be a full-time job? Isn't that right? Yeah, and because what happens is the devil, watch this, oh man, you got to get this. The devil doesn't necessarily get you when you're strong in faith. He gets you when you're emotional. He gets you when you're going through something. He gets you when there's an obstacle. He gets you when something didn't go the way you wanted it to. Hello, somebody. You got, and you're going through something, and then all of a sudden you come to church and pastor's walking by and didn't even notice you. You got it. See, I knew something was wrong because pastor didn't even acknowledge me when he went by. And pastor didn't even see you. But I'm just trying to help y'all. Understand, that is the devil. And you can't give place to the devil. You got to be like, man, that's the devil. And then you fix the devil. You say, hey, pastor. And then you see me turn around. Hey, how you doing? And I come over and give you a hug. And we give each other a high five in the spirit and let the devil know he can't win in our lives. Isn't that right? That's how you do that. Don't never let the devil talk you out of people loving you. Because the devil try to tell you people don't really love you. They don't have time for that. The devil is a lie. You got it? Your church don't really care about anything but money. You know, it's so funny how the devil uses that. You've been coming here long enough, you know that ain't the truth. You understand what I'm saying? But the enemy will try to put anything he can in your mind to cloud your judgment because he doesn't want you to keep going forward. He wants you to go backwards. Does that make sense? And so that's why we can't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. So I have to have this confidence that when I come to God, I have to have this confidence. Okay, let me ask everybody. Does anybody in the room, do you know your address? You sure? Okay, if I ask you to say it, you know it good enough to tell me what your address is? Okay, all right, everybody at one time, what's your address? All right. Do you know how to get there when you go home? You do? All right. So when you go home, now when you guys go home, do you pull in the driveway? Do you park out front? Do you go in the garage? Like, tell me what y'all do. Okay, all right. So when you go home to your house, right, and you get on your road, right, do you first pass your house and check? You got it? To make sure, yeah, that's my address, and then go down the next street and come back around and then go in. You don't do that? Why? Okay, so let me ask you this. When you pull up to the house, like, you know, do you walk right in the door or do you ring the doorbell? You walk right in the door? Why are you right in the door? Why don't you ring the doorbell? Because you know it's your house. You have a confidence that it's your house, so you boldly walk into the house. When you have a confidence that God is your Father and that when you communicate to Him what the Word of God says, He hears you, you have a boldness to come boldly before the throne of grace so you can get mercy and favor for whatever it is that you need. So it's not based on anything else but my confidence towards God. It's not based on how many times I've been to church or how many times I prayed or I went a whole 365 days and I didn't sin one time. It's not based on any of those things. It's based on the fact that the blood of Jesus has covered everything that I've ever done and given me an access, because the veil has been ripped from the top to the bottom, giving me direct access to go to God on my own. And I love that because I don't want a priest going for me. When we begin to understand the tabernacle, and we'll talk about it for a little bit, and really I want to demonstrate. I can't wait to the first Saturday of prayer, January 6th. I want to we're going to pray the tabernacle prayer together, and you know, you come into the outer courts, and then you see the brazen altar, which really, you know, is where the sacrifice had to be made. This is where we begin to thank God for the blood of Jesus and those kind of things, and then you go, you know, to the laver, and the laver, you know, before you could go in, you would look down at the laver because you would get a reflection to see that I'm just a mere mortal man going into the presence of God. You understand what I'm saying? You know, now the most holy is the only place where the priest could go in. And if you know anything about that, they had to tie a rope around the priest, because if he went in and wasn't right and dropped dead, you couldn't go in behind him. You'd have to pull him out. You understand what I'm saying? And thank God that Jesus came. You got it? He says, a new and a living way have I created for you. You understand what I'm saying? So now I don't have to wait one time a year for a man to go in on my behalf. You got it? You can go to God anytime you want. Does that make sense? And so, and that is why I'm praying that I'm teaching this lesson in a way where it makes sense. You can understand it. So when you're done, you're like, yeah, man, I got to pray. Like, God hears me when I pray. Like, when I don't pray, I'm messing myself up. Does that make sense? That's like having money at the bank. You need the money, but not going to get the money. You got it? Like you walking around. We all say we going to dinner. Well, you going? No, man, I ain't got no money. You got it? Oh, well, you need some? Oh, no, I got some at the bank. Well, you going to go get it? No, I'm not going to go get it. But I sure wish I had some money. You understand what I'm saying? So you messing yourself up because you got money. I'm sorry. You have money. All you have to do is just go and get the money. You understand what I'm saying? Well, you have got a high priest, oh my God, Jesus, that ever lives to make intercession for you. You got it? And that all you have to do is come to him boldly and just tell him what you need. So when I don't pray, I'm messing myself up. Does that make sense? Okay, man, that is good all by itself. Isn't that good all by itself? All right. All right. All right. Number three, we said that it must be in faith. It must be in faith. Everybody say it must be in faith. All right. James 5 and 13. James 5 and 13. Boy, I'm getting blessed. Y'all getting blessed today? Yeah, this is good teaching right here. All right. Watch what the writer says. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of church, for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15 is the operative verse that I want to get to. And the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith. So, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, But watch who does the raising. The Lord will raise him up. So it's my job to pray in faith. It's God's job to do the rest. It's my job to walk by faith. It's God's job to do the rest. It's my job to confess in faith. It's God's job to do the rest. The problem is you put all the pressure on you thinking that you've got to do it all. No, you don't have to do it all. You just have to do the faith component and God does the rest. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. So I do the faith part, God does the rest. Does that make sense? I do the faith part, God does the supernatural. I do the faith part, God does the manifestation. I do the faith part, God does the miraculous. I do the faith part, God brings increase. I do the faith part, God deals with my children. You understand? I do the faith part, God deals with my spouse. It's just my job to do the faith part. Too many times we're trying to do the faith part and fix the spouse. We're trying to do the faith part and fix the children. You understand? We're trying to do the faith part, you got it, and make the boss see why you need to give me a raise. No. That's not how I do it. It's my job to do the faith part. Does that make sense? Okay, let me give you an example. Like, my wife and I, we were believing that, today would be an incredible Sunday, that we would grow numerically, spiritually, and financially. We always believe that way. You understand? When it gets toward the end of the year, and I'm not knocking nobody, so y'all know Pastor loves you, but sometime when Christmas comes, people back up in their giving. You got it? Ain't no problem, because we live by faith. So you notice at the offering, the pastor said, okay, now, y'all don't be giving all your money to Santa Claus. I didn't say that, right? Number one, you've been taught well, and we know what we should do. But I didn't need to fuss at you. Why don't I need to fuss? Because I have faith. So I said, Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that it's not the offering not just going to be regular, it's going to be above normal in Jesus' name. You understand what I'm saying? That people are going to just obey your word, do what they're supposed to do, give up their tithes and their offerings. You understand? So what am I doing? I'm doing the faith part. And then I believe that God's going to do the rest. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. So the prayer of faith. So prayer doesn't make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. You get it? Faith doesn't make prayer work. Prayer makes faith work. Can we go a little further? Fasting doesn't make faith work. Faith makes fasting work. Does that make sense? Confession doesn't make faith work. Faith make, what am I saying? When I fast, I have to fast in faith. When I pray, I have to pray in faith. When I confess, I have to confess in faith. Whatever I do, I must do it in faith. Does that make sense? James 1:5. Let's do this. Yeah, James 1:5. And then we'll close. We'll get out of here. I think this has been good. You think this has been good? I think this has been good. All right? Because y'all know me. When I get to rolling, I teach all day long. All right. If any of you lack wisdom, let him do what? Let him do what, class? You mean that's all you got to do? Yeah, that's all you got to do, right? Yeah. So there's no reason that I should be in a state where I don't know. Because the Bible said if I need wisdom, all I got to do is ask of God. So if I'm in a state where I don't know, I don't need to be frustrated. I just need to ask God. I don't need to fuss with my wife. I just need to ask God. I don't need to get mad at the kids. I just need to ask God. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Watch verse 6. Here he goes. I told you. Prayer doesn't make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. Asking doesn't make faith work. Faith makes asking work. And let him ask how? In faith, nothing what? What's that mean? Y'all scared? Don't back up. Be bold. Be confident. Don't change your mind. Right? For he that wavereth, wavering, you sometimes up, sometime down. That's not the will of God for your life. It's not the will of God. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything. That's strong, isn't it? Well, we just read. There's a way that you have to come. He said, you got to come to me boldly. You got it? He says in verse 8, a double-minded man, unstable, all his ways. One thing you all can appreciate about me in the 10 years of pastoring, pastor's always been consistent. Now, you know, if you don't say amen, it's okay, because I know that's the truth. You got like, I've always been the same. I've always been consistent. I've always been the same. And why am I consistent? Because I believe that, number one, God is consistent, and I believe that God respects consistency. I do. And I believe that in our lives, we have to learn to be consistent. In every area of my life, I try to be consistent. I have regiments. You got to have systems that I put in place, and I try to do them that way all the time. Because to me, it just makes life easier. There's a certain way I pray. There's a certain way I do my bills. You got it? There's just a certain way that I do everything. And so my whole thing is, from this moment forward, when you walk out of here today, I want you to have the mentality that if I don't pray, I'm messing myself up. If I don't pray, I'm messing myself up. No, because prayer works. I just got to come boldly. How many of you all have kids? How many of them are expecting some Christmas gifts? Yeah. How many of them probably told you what they wanted for Christmas? How many of them didn't have a problem telling you what they wanted for Christmas? How many of them ask you for stuff when it's not Christmas? And even when it's not Christmas, they're bold, right? They just come. They're like, hey, Dad, Mom, can I have this? It could be, their birthday could have been just 2 weeks ago. They're like, wait, what's in the past? It's in the past. Pastor said that. So they're bold. Well, God says, that's how I want my children to be. I want you to be bold. God said, it doesn't matter that I blessed you with a house a month ago, but whatever you want, I want you to come to me, and I want you to ask for it. But I don't want you to come timid. I don't want you to come fearful. I want you to come in faith. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we magnify.